Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the dear and precious family that are joining us on the room. Also for those that will be listening later and recording. Sabbath blessing everyone on this Sabbath, May 3rd, 2025. This is our review of our chapter 85 entitled By the Sea Once More of our part 4 of our lesson 433. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. We are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with a tiny thought themed to our theme, To God Be the Glory, number 627.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our joy and our wonder when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He has done.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Indeed. Thank you so much, dear brother. We are going to ask the little ones by the help of their parents or elder sibling to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Thank you, God. For the Sabbath day, please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days, shall I labor and do all thy work, and the 7 days is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people who's in the Sabbath and the people who's not in the Sabbath. Please protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to take these few moments to be able to hear all the little blessings that the little one has been in the household or abroad. If you would like to share a testimony, dear ones, may you do so by opening the mic.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For this week's Mommy's and Daddy's little blessing, I'd like to highlight Haley. By God's grace, I'm feeling much better, but when last week was a little bit heavy for me, every cough, every sneeze, every blowing up the nose, she was there. She got up, she was asking, are you okay, or do you need anything? Before it could even be asked, she would come and would put it down by my bedside. And just very concerning and caring, and was constantly praying for my full recovery. And so that was a blessing to me. And still, even this morning, I must have been sleeping, and she heard me coughing in my sleep, and she woke up and she came over and she said, "Are you okay?" And I wasn't aware that I had been coughing in my sleep. And she said, "Yeah, you were coughing. Are you in pain? Or is anything hurting you?" And so it's a blessing just to be able to see that level of care in her little heart. So I just wanted to thank God and share that blessing with you all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any family that would like to share the little blessing? I can be able to share the blessing that I received last night when I hear little Jeremiah and little Chrissy when they was gathering together with the other little children on Friday night, where they was very much glorifying God in songs and in prayer. And we would like to thank God for that moment that I was able to pick on. And to be able to just thank all the little ones and their mommies that are taking part of that Friday night meeting with the little ones. And we would like to thank our dear sister Gracie and sister Cece in helping along with that. We just want to be very much attentive to the little ones, especially in the beginning of the Sabbath, that they can usher in the Sabbath to the glory of God. And I would like to thank all the mommies in participation. And that is the little blessing that I would like to be able to share with everybody. It's story time, little ones, for our review. Let's have a listening ear. So we are going to review our chapter 24 entitled Death of Christ, part 3, narrated by our dear brother Granny, and I will pass the mic.
The Bible verses for our lesson taken from the book of Matthew this time. Matthew 27:50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He died. And 27:51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake. And it looks like a crack has showed up in the floor there in front of that ripping curtain. Who knows? And the rocks rent, yeah. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Okay. At the time of the death of Christ, some of the priests were ministering in the temple at Jerusalem. They felt the shock of the earthquake, and at the same moment, the veil of the temple, which separated the holy from the most holy place, was rent in twain. From the top to the bottom, by the same bloodless hand that wrote the words of doom on the walls of Belshazzar's palace. The most holy place in the earthly sanctuary was no longer sacred. Neither would the presence of God again overshadow that mercy seat. Never would the acceptance of or displeasure of God be manifest by the light or shadow in the precious stones in the breastplate of the high priest. Henceforth, the blood of the offerings in the temple was of no value. The Lamb of God, in dying, had become the sacrifice for the sins of the world. That's what the little lamb represented from the beginning. It represented Jesus. When Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, the new and living way was thrown open to Jews and Gentiles alike. Angels rejoiced as the Savior cried It is finished. The great plan of redemption was to be carried out. Through a life of obedience, the Son of Adam, the sons of Adam might be exalted finally to the presence of God. And those sons are you and me. Satan was defeated and knew that his kingdom was lost. And that's taken from The Story of Jesus, page 147.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will begin with a new chapter of our lesson entitled In Joseph's Tomb, in our tiny tot lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place May the 10th, 2025, and I will pass it back to our dear brother for the review.
All right. What was happening at the temple, happening at the time of Christ, what was happening at the time of the death of Christ?
Sabbath, the answer to number one is Sabbath, the priests were ministering in the temple of Jerusalem.
Yes. And what happened to the veil of the temple? By what?
The answer to number two, it was rent in twain from bottom to top, from top to bottom, by the same bloodless hand.
Yes, the hand that wrote many, many tikkun ufarsin on the walls of Belshazzar's feast was the one that ripped that curtain from top to bottom. If it had been ripped from bottom to top, people could say, well, there were two people over here that you couldn't see. They had a rope tied to it and they pulled it, you know, but you couldn't do that from the top. So the Lord arranged it that way so they would realize it was a miracle. What had the Lamb of God in dying become?
The answer to number three is the sacrifice for the sins of the world.
He was the sacrifice for the sins of the world, yes. Without that, there would be no salvation for any of us. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, thank you, and I'll return the mic to Rose.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. It is time for our tiny tots and parents to learn precious lessons in God's creation through nature of their review of our topic, Mamas of the Bible, and our dear brother Josh will be the one to share.
Sad blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning the mammals of the Bible, looking through nature, beasts of burden, and lesson five, a horse's teeth and senses. Look at the illustrations of the horses on pages 103 to 132. And the memory verse of today's lesson is Matthew 13:22. And it says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, he becometh unfruitful. And the character quality of the whole story is industry versus slothfulness. Industry is the habit of working hard and steadily with thoughts and deeds directed by heaven. And our Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book of FBL Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 6, The Sower, the Seed, and the Soil. Matthew 13, verse 7 says, and some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprung up and choked them. And 22 says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, he becometh unfruitful. Thorns. and some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Matthew 13:7-22. The gospel seed often falls among thorns and noxious weeds, and if there is not a moral transformation in the human heart, old habits and practices and a former life of sin are not left behind. If the attributes of Satan are not expelled from the soul, the weed crop will be choked. The thorns will come to be the crop and will kill out the wheat. The Christ Subject Lessons, page 50. If you have ever weeded in the garden, you realize it takes hard and industrious work to do it. So it is in weeding and all out, all sin out of the life. Thorny weeds in the garden are much easier to remove when they are young and tender than when they are mature. This teaches us that today is the easiest day to get rid of sin. Every day we put it off, it will get harder and more painful. Here in the remind and things you can do while you remember the lesson. One, as you work together as a family, let your chores remind you of your lesson. Two, as you put seeds on to cook for lunch, remember the lesson. Three, as you chew or brush your teeth, do not forget your lesson about teeth. Four, as you see the sun rising and it gradually is getting brighter towards noon, remember how Jesus was gradually revealing truth through parable teaching. And finally, five, notice how the briars or thorny bushes take over waste places along the road and remember how easily the word can be choked down in the mind. Cultivate the good seed by seeing memory verses while riding along the car. Next is reinforce activities you can do to help you remember the lesson. One, look for horses. Use an encyclopedia or guidebook to identify the breed of horse. Two, look in the mirror at your own teeth and see that they were made for chewing plants thoroughly. Three, visit a ranch if possible where horses are trained for riding. Four, learn this word. Mastication is a word that means chewing solid food, breaking it into small pieces, mixing it with saliva. And five, for individual activity stories and poems, use a book entitled Children's Loud Activity Stories and Poems for this quarter. See you, memory verse. Hearing the remarkable parent food, not one noxious plant was placed in the Lord's great garden, but after Adam and Eve sinned, poisonous herbs sprang up. In the parable of the sower, the question was asked from the master, "Didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? How then hath it tares?" The master answered, "An enemy hath done this." All tares are sown by the evil one. Every noxious herb is of his sowing, and by his ingenious methods of amalgamation, he has corrupted the earth with tares. First File Commentary, page 1086. And here on our right, we see the illustration of a horse's teeth on the inside. And let's take a look at the above illustration on actual horse teeth. And below are the bones on the inside. Says telling a horse's age by the outer surface of a corner incisor. Galvain's groove appears at age 10, reaches the lower edge of the tooth by age 20, and gradually disappears from the top first by age 30. Here is the illustration of the horse's eye, which we've seen from last week. In the colored picture in front of that square is the third eyelid. And through these two diagrams are located these parts of the eye. The corpora nigra, the iris, the pupil, the white of eye, third eyelid, the lacrimal, caruncle, eyelids, cornea, conjunctiva, retina, optic nerve, optic disc, the lacrimal gland, the tarsal gland, the ciliary ring, the lens, ciliary muscle, and the posterior chamber. Let's take a look at an illustration of an actual horse's eye. says here, the shape of a horse's eye makes objects far to the side or back appear to move faster than they really do. So a horse may shy or move suddenly at the slightest movement of something to the side or back of it. A horse's eyes take time to adjust to changes in light. It may appear to be nervous when coming from a dark stall in the bright sunshine till the eyes adjust. Gradually, Jesus was unfolding the light of the truth in parables. And this diagram explains a horse's vision along with the parts of its inside that help it. The inside the binocular vision, then the blind spot, on both sides of the binocular vision, the marginal vision on both fronts, and another blind spot. And over here we see these same eye parts as from the first slide. The third eyelid, the inside corner, or the medial canthus, the lower eyelid, and the lower lid, the corporal nigra, the iris, the upper lid, the outside corner, or the lateral canthus, and the limbus. And below is the tapetum, the retina, choroid, the ciliary body, the corpora nigra, the cornea, the pupil, the anterior chamber, the iris, the posterior chamber, the iridocorneal angle, the sclera, and the optic nerve. What can we learn from our nature walk experience, Jones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. Nature, what is a flower? What is a flower? The word flower means the best of everything. That is just what God has given in, was giving the children of Israel, the best of everything. They need to learn to trust in Him, that He was providing them the best food, water, and protection. The flower is the reproductive part of any seed-bearing plant. Weeds, trees, shrubs, vines, vegetables, and grasses all have flowers. There are about 250,000 varieties of flower and plants. There were over 1 million Israelites who came out of Egypt. Some were like weeds, some like trees, some like vines. All need to learn to trust their lives to God so they could bloom, fulfill the purpose God intended for them. Flowers grow almost everywhere, from snow-covered mountains to hot, dry deserts. Wherever they grow, that place is more beautiful. The children of Israel were like flowers trying to grow on the desert. However, they needed to learn to trust in God that they might make the desert a beautiful, blooming flower garden. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall be the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Isaiah 35:1-2. God may allow the little landscape of our lives to become barren like a desert, so that others may see, by way of contrast, the excellency of our God in causing us to bloom in such unfavorable circumstances. Nature, more garden flowers. There are many kinds of garden flowers, such as hollyhocks, tulips, pansies, and others. It is enjoyable to have a garden full of plants. The flowers form seeds to grow new plants. Moses' garden of helpers grew by the thought, or seed, Jethro suggested to Moses. Now he had many trusted people to help him carry on the work. Some of the beautiful flowers that grow from unattractive bulbs are daffodils, tulips, hyacinths, and others. We see from this that God can transform a rough and unattractive character into an object of breathtaking beauty. The bulbs can be planted in the autumn. During the winter, they grow slowly, and when the winter becomes warmer, the bulbs grow quickly. The roots and leaves grow longer, and flowers form. In nature, wind and water. Two of the ways God has provided for flowers to plant their seeds are the wind and water currents. Seeds from flowers such as dandelions and milkweed are shaped like parachutes and sails and are carried by the wind, flowing away to be planted. Seeds from the sycamore trees spin to the ground like helicopters. nature, tulips, perennial. A tulip is a lovely garden flower belonging to the lily family. Tulips bloom in the spring, growing from bulbs. Usually the tulip has one large bell-shaped flower at the tip of its stem. The word tulip, it comes from a Turkish word meaning turban. The beautiful flower looks somewhat like a turban. It looks like the hats of the priests that carried the ark as they marched around Jericho in obedience to God's instructions. The tulip comes in almost all colors, and some in two colors. Nature, wildflowers. Some flowering plants become pests. Their seeds scatter far and wide and grow quickly. They crowd out the plants that people want in that place. These unwanted flowering plants are called weeds. They can spoil crops and make gardens unsightly. Dandelions are a wildflower, are also considered a weed. The children of God made a wrong choice in not seeking God before attacking Ai. It was a wildflower and weed growing where it is not wanted. If we do not practice self-denial, pride will grow in our hearts where it is not wanted. The people in Ai were like weeds in the land of Canaan, and God wanted his people to root them out. Children are usually delighted to see dandelions growing in a yard as they are one of the first flowers of spring. They also enjoy picking the mature ones that have gone to seed and blowing on them. So we see what is considered a weed by some people is cherished by others. And below, above the picture of the hellebore's flower, where we see the info about it. The botanical name is hellebore's. The other names are the winter rose and the Lenten rose. The height is 30 to 60 centimeters, and the width is just 30 centimeters. Hellebores feature beautiful open flowers ranging from lime green and mauve to white, dusty pink, and crimson. As a clump-forming plant, hellebores are great for propagation and given the right care. They can last for many years. Although commonly known as the winter rose, the hellebores are not related to the rose family, but in fact belong to the Ranunculaceae family. They're still just as beautiful. No, the hellebores, while beautiful, are poisonous to both animals and humans. Do not ingest any part of this plant. Then there's the black diamond, also called the purely purple, and the crepe myrtle. Scientific name is Megastromia indica, and the flowering are in summer and fall, and their height is from 10 to 12 feet. The crepe myrtle, gorgeous, shrubby, low maintenance of flowering tree that yields clusters of elegant, clear, purple blooms. It features dark black foliage that contrasts wonderfully well with the amethyst blooms. This disease-resistant tree thrives in medium, moist, well-drained soils and sunny locations. Once established, this tree becomes fairly drought-tolerant. Then there's the common purple lilac. Scientific name is Syringa vulgaris. And the flowering in spring, and the height is from 20 to 23 feet. Native to southeastern Europe, common purple lilac or lilac tree is a multi-stemmed shrub. It features lilac, lavender, or light purple clusters of exceptionally aromatic four-petaled blossoms that are surrounded by a lush green shrubbery. These trees grow well in well-drained, moist soil and sunny areas. However, they don't tolerate hot, humid conditions. Then there's the golden euonymus. The euonymus japonicus is Aureomarginatus. This is an evergreen shrub that belongs to the euonymus genus. Here are some key points about this shrub. This is a very dense shrub with an oval shape if grown in full sun. The thick foliage makes it ideal for our privacy or even a sound edge. The shrubs are really striking in the garden. The onimus leaves are leathery to the touch and grow up to 3 inches or 7.5 centimeters long. The greenish white blossom appear in spring, but you may not even notice them. They are inconspicuous. Golden euonymus shrubs can grow to 10 feet or 3 meters high and 6 feet or 2 meters wide. Then the grape hyacinths. The scientific name is the Muscari armeniacum. And the color is blue. Their growth height 20 centimeters. Their flower color is the blue light requirements, full sun. On soil requirements, special potting mix, well-drained soil. And they look like miniature hyacinths with hanging flowers that look like small beads on the stem of the plant. They're a great choice for garden borders, pathways, or pots while adding a splash of iridescent blue to your garden. They multiply well, both flower forever, and are a hardy drought-tolerant plant that is very easy for you to grow. One of the easiest flowers, grape hyacinths, are our joy in the spring garden that multiply readily by bulb offsets and seeds, happily spraying throughout the garden, sometimes a little too happily, to the point where you might want to transplant them elsewhere. In our reference reading of our lesson, The Mammals of the Bible Review, taken from our youth study, Christ Object Lesson, Chapter 2, The Soul of Four to Sow, Part 6. Continuing. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The gospel seed often falls among thorns and noxious weeds, and if there is not a moral transformation of heart, if old habits and practices in the former life of sin are not left behind, if the attributes of Satan are not self from the soul, the wheat crop will be choked. The thorns will come to be the crop and will kill out the wheat. Christ's Object Lessons, pages 2 to 3. Grace can thrive only in the heart that is being constantly prepared for the precious seeds of truth. The thorns of sin will grow in any soul. They need no cultivation, but grace must be carefully cultivated. The briars and thorns are always ready to spring up, and the work of purification must advance continually. If the heart is not kept under the control of God, if the Holy Spirit does not work unceasingly to refine and ennoble the character, the old habits will reveal themselves in the life. Men may profess to believe the gospel, but unless they are sanctified by the gospel, their profession is of no avail. If they do not gain the victory over sin, then sin has gained the victory over them. The thorns that have been cut off but not uprooted grow apace until the soul is overspread with them. Christ's Object Lessons, page 50, paragraph 4. Christ specified the things that are dangerous to the soul. As recorded by Mark, he mentions the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things. Luke specifies the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. These are what choke the word, the growing spiritual seed. The soul ceases to draw nourishment from Christ, and spirituality dies out of the heart. Desire of Ages, page 51, paragraph 1. The cares of this world, no glass is free from the temptation to worldly care, to the poor toil and deprivation of the fear of want, bring perplexities and burdens. To the rich come fear of loss and a multitude of anxious cares. Many of Christ's followers forget the lesson he has bidden us learn from the flowers of the field. They do not trust to his constant care. Christ cannot carry their burden, because they do not cast it upon him. Therefore, the cares of life, which should drive them to the Savior for help and comfort, separate them from him. Christ's Object Lessons, page 51, paragraph 2. Many who might be fruitful in God's service become bent on acquiring help. Their whole energy is absorbed in business enterprises, and they feel obliged to neglect things of a spiritual nature. Thus they separate themselves from God. We are enjoined in the scriptures to be not slothful in business. Romans 12:11. We are to labor that we may impart to him who needs. Christians must work, they must engage in business, and they can do this without committing sin, but may become so absorbed in business that they have no time for prayer, no time for the study of the Bible, no time to seek and serve God. At times, the longings of the soul go out for holiness and heaviness, but there is no time to turn aside from the din of the world to listen to the majestic and authoritative utterances of the Spirit of God. The things of eternity are made subordinate. The things of the world are supremer. It is impossible for the seed of the word to bring forth fruit, for the life of the soul is given to nourish the thorns of worldliness. And here are three bonus questions in review. You can find the lessons in the study or in the book, in the Bible as well. One, where did more seeds fall? The answer is in Matthew 13:7. Two, what does Matthew 13:7 mean? You can find the answer, or to write the answer, that's the explanation. And three, what does industry mean? Now I'll turn the mic back to Mom.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us and have just came in. Our opening song is a hymn of our theme entitled Fishers of Men. You can find it in number 500. And if you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me.
Hear Christ calling, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family. We are asking the elder sibling, mommy, so daddy, so even our guests to open our family review with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everybody. Thank you, God. Waking us up for this morning, and please protect us. Please protect me and my mom and my dad and my... Please protect the Sabbath. Please protect everybody. Please protect the way that we're going to be doing. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, little one. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from our study book entitled The Desire of Ages. This is volume 1 of the Memory Verse CD. We are going to hear 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, King James Margin.
For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, for with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish, and without spot, and without spot, as of a lamb, without blemish, and without spot. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, wherewith the precious blood of Christ was of a lamb, without blemish, and without spot, and without spot. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the 18th and 19th verses.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We will take a few minutes to be able to reread our part 1 of our lesson. Of our lesson entitled By the Sea Once More, Part 4, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Continuing the reading. Jesus walked along with Peter, for there was something which he wished to communicate to him only. Before his death, Jesus had said to him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." To this Peter had replied, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." John chapter 13, verse 36 and 37. Next slide, please. When he said this, he knew little to what heights and depths Christ's feet would lead. Peter had failed when the test came, but again he was to have opportunity to prove his love for Christ, that he might be strengthened for the final test of his faith. The Savior opened to him his future. He told him that after living a life of usefulness, when age was telling upon his strength. Next slide, please. He would indeed follow his Lord. Jesus said, when he said this, he little knew to what heights and depths Christ's feet would lead the way. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. The Desire of Ages, page 815, paragraph 3. And on the slide, there is a verse from Mark chapter 8, verse 35, King James Version. And it reads, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 815. Jesus thus made known to Peter the very manner of his death. He even foretold the stretching forth of his hands upon the cross, Again, he bade his disciple, "Follow me." Peter was not disheartened by the revelation. He felt willing to suffer any death for his Lord. Desire of Ages, page 815, paragraph 4. And on the side it says, "Follow me."
Continuing, heretofore Peter had known Christ after the flesh, as many known him now, but he was no more to be thus limited. He knew him no more, as he had known him in his association with him in humanity. He had loved him as a man and as a heaven-sent teacher. He now loved him as a God.
The Desire of Ages, page 815. Continuing. He had been learning the lesson that to him, Christ was all in all. Now he was prepared to share in the Lord's mission of sacrifice. When at last brought to the cross, he was, at his own request, crucified with his head downward. He thought it too great an honor to suffer in the same way as his master did. The Desire of Ages, page 815, paragraph 5.
Amen. Praise the Lord. While I was trying to be able to place this song in the first part of our project, we had the emergency call for our dear brother that was having difficulties from our dear sisters, which is the mom of our dear brother. And by God's grace, I was able to put it in the worksheet, but I didn't place it in the first part. So now the Lord is still impressed to continue to place it even in this section of our review. And this one is taken from Psalm 48, verse 14, King James Version, taken from Scripture Singer Song in the section Character Building of the Memory Verse CD. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us continue. We are in page 816. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Desire of Ages, page 816. To Peter, the words, "Follow me," were full of instruction. Not only for his death, but for every step of his life was the lesson given. Hitherto, Peter had been inclined to act independently. He had tried to plan for the work of God instead of waiting to follow out God's plan. Next slide, please. I'll bubble down now.
Continuing, but he could gain nothing by rushing on before the Lord. Jesus bid him, "Follow me. Do not run ahead of me. Then you will not have the host of Satan to meet alone. Let me go before you, and you will not be overcome by the enemy." Desire of Ages, page 816, paragraph 1.
All right.
The Desire of Ages, page 816. As Peter walked beside Jesus, he saw that John was following. A desire came over him to know his future, and he said to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" He saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow upon me."
Peter should have considered that his Lord would reveal to him all that was best for him to know. It is the duty of Christ. This is the duty of everyone to follow Christ. Next slide, please.
Continuing, without undue anxiety as to the work assigned to others, in saying to John, "If I will that he tarry till I come," Jesus gave no assurance that this disciple should live until the Lord's second coming. He merely asserted his own supreme power, and that even if he should will this to be so, it would in no way affect Peter's work. The future of both John and Peter was in the hands of their Lord. Obedience and following him was the duty required of each. Desire of Ages, page 816, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. So what have we learned in ways we have grown? Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Sabbath blessing to our Father. Let's consider our verse for the review answer taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, for those that are not able to see the questions in the room, I will read it out, dear ones, and if you are able to share for the purpose of the edification of your brethren and the little ones and our guests. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And number six, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to place them in the room, dear ones, otherwise you could use your mic to share. Who would like to take the first one? May you unmute your mic?
So the main characters in a story is the Lord and his disciples, particularly Peter and John.
The answer to question two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? It is about Jesus telling Peter of his future and also in insight a concerning Peter's past.
The answer to number three, where did the story take place? I believe it took place by the seaside.
Number four, where the story began, after Christ was risen and he met up with his disciples on the seaside.
The answer. Go ahead, dear brother.
How I could relate to this story, what I can relate to is Jesus knew Peter loves him, and despite the denying him and three times before the crucifixion. And it was to have him restored and prep him for the mystery he was going to do later on.
How I could also relate to this story too is that the Lord has everything in his hands concerning our own individual lives, and we just have to keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus in all these areas of our lives, and he will take care of things if we are obedient and follow him and not worry about what someone else might even be doing.
Well, number six, what did you learn from this lesson? What I learned from the lesson is the importance of following Jesus and not going before him. turn your volume down, please. Going before the Lord, we tend to run into a lot of obstacles that we don't intend on being in. Just trying to get things done as an adult, as a parent. We just want to get things done so we can move on to the next task. But if we don't inquire what the Lord wants us to do for that day, we're going to run into a lot of pitfalls because we didn't get the instructions that the Lord had given us for that day to be prepared. And when we run into a pitfall, going before God, that means you left Jesus behind you somewhere. So that means you're going to have to go back and start from where you left him at so that you can walk with him. So the importance of following Jesus is to get the instructions that he has prepared for you for the day so that you will have the ammunition that you need to get through the day versus going before him and you having no clue what to do, or you just react in your own character and having to start all over again.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for everyone and the input. What I have learned from this lesson, it is so beautiful to know that he that knows you more than you know yourself is able to meet you in every circumstances in life, because all of those instruments that he used, they all was given for the purpose of meeting him. On a one-on-one basis, he reconciled and he also allowed him to know him more deeply, because he had known him in his humanity as a teacher and as a master, but it was time for him to know him as God, that he may have a better result. As when he being commissioned to go and give the gospel, he was going to be aware that he was with him in every circumstances and in every place. That is the same thing that the Lord is doing with each and every one of us. Sometimes when things doesn't happen the way how you was intended, we need to go back and sit at his feet. For our life is already been written in the Word of God. It helps us to realize that we need to sit at his feet and ask the Lord, what is the way and the way that we should go? We all was taken out of the world as precious stones, but now we have to sit where the Lord would take that stone and he was going to shape it. And you know, there's a lot of polishing and breaking and a lot of things to be able to have that beautiful jewel that he would like to be able to place in his kingdom. I was having a hard time at the time. I was working in Wall Street and I couldn't understand what was really going on. Everything was going pretty fast, but the Lord was not allowing me to go further in my company. I just saw myself falling back, but not knowing that the Lord was calling me. And for someone to be called and not knowing what it is that they're going to do, this is when faith comes in. And the only way that we can be able to obtain faith is by hearing the word of God. So the Lord is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. He knows our path. The only footprint that we can follow is the one that he has. If you notice, if you put your footprint in the actual path of Christ, our footprint is swallowed in his. So we are so grateful that through the children's story, we can see everything kind of slow down and we are taught as children. So as children, we can be able to follow our Savior. And I pray that each and every one will be able to give that time, that he may be able to manifest himself more as who he is in our life and for what we're supposed to do according to his will. I'm still a child. I believe I'm 11 years old, because every time when I do these kind of projects, it makes me realize more and more that the more we give our hands for him to lead, it's the better and the safest way to be able to proceed. And I just wanted to share that. If anybody else would like to share, may you unmute your mic. We are going to continue in our study, dear ones. We have thoughts, favorite poem, and also special music. The thought is taken from a spirit of prophecy book entitled Maranatha, chapter 117, entitled A Twofold Life. The reflection is entitled A Faithful Witness. Our opening scripture to this thought is taken from 1 John 1:3, King James Version, and it reads, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Nothing is more needed in our work than the practical results of communion with God. We should show by our daily lives that we have peace and rest in the Savior. His peace in the heart will shine forth in the countenance. Communion with God will ennoble the character and the life. Men will take knowledge of us as of the first disciples that we have been with Jesus. Maranatha, page 105, paragraph 2.
This will impart to the workers a power that nothing else can give. Of this power, he must not allow himself to be deprived. We must live a twofold life, a life thought and action of silent prayer and earnest work. Maranatha, page 125, paragraph 2.
All who are under the train of God need the quiet hour for communion with their own hearts, with nature, and with God. We must individually hear him speaking to the heart when every other voice is hushed. In quietness we wait before him. The silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. He bids us, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46:10. This is the effectual preparation for all labor for God. Amidst the hurrying throng and the strain of life's intense activities, he who is thus refreshed will be surrounded with an atmosphere of light and peace. He will receive a new endowment of both physical and mental strength. His life will breathe out a fragrance and will reveal a divine power that will reach men's hearts. Maranatha, page 125, paragraph 3.
Many, even in their seasons of devotion, fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. They are in too great haste. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for counsel. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to their work. Maranatha, page 125, paragraph 4.
Reflection, Joshi, if we don't hear anybody.
Reflection. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The apostle teaches that while we should manifest Christian courtesy, we are authorized to deal in plain terms with sin and sinners, that this is not inconsistent with true charity. Whosoever committed sin, he writes, transgresseth also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. The Acts of the Apostles, page 555, paragraph 1.
As witness for Christ, John entered into controversy. No words of contention. He declared what he knew, what he had seen and heard. He had been intimately associated with Christ and listened to his teachings, had witnessed his mighty miracles. Few could see the beauties of Christ's character as John saw them. For him, the darkness had passed away. On him, the true light was shining. His testimony in regard to the Savior's life and death was clear and forcible. Out of the abundance of a heart overflowing with love for the Savior, he spoke, and no power could stay his words. The Acts of the Apostles, page 555, paragraph 2.
That which was from the beginning, he declared, which we have heard, with which we have seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The Acts of the Apostles, page 555, paragraph 3.
So may every true believer be able, though his own through his own experience, to set to his seal that God is true. John chapter 3, verse 33. He can bear witness to that which he has seen and heard and felt of the power of Christ. The Acts of the Apostles, page 556, paragraph 1. Taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 54, page 555, paragraph 1 through 3, and page 556, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And a poem is entitled Industrious Mary. This is taken from Children by Activity, book year 2, quarter 4, lesson 6, and page 142. On the Sunlight Education Ministry, homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
Number 1, Mary never idle sits. She cleaned the house or sew or knit. Hard she labors all the week with cheerful looks and rosy cheek. Number 2, and on the Sabbath Mary goes neatly dressed in indecent clothes. Praise to God, her constant rule, and hastens to the Sabbath school.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. And our special music is taken from the same scripture singer song in section God's Love in the memory verse CD. This is Psalm 46, verse 10. Margin.
Thank you.
Well, dear ones, this would have been the section to hear all the testimonies that you have to be able to share with the rest of the Remnant family. But we are going to have time, dear ones, either between the meetings or after all the services. So next week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 5 of our lesson book entitled By the Sea, Once More, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to be able to close our review section of our family meeting with prayer? May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and precious name. Father Jesus, we thank you for allowing us once more to gather here to praise your name on your blessed day. Father, we pray for all the blessings that you have in store for us this day. We thank you, Father Jesus, for all the little ones and their parents, Father, and their participation. We pray for our sisters and brothers that are not feeling well today. I pray for healing on them, Lord. Please be comforting to them today. Please be with all of us in our different homes and circumstances. We thank you again for all the blessings, Father Jesus. We thank you that you have prepared us, have a preparation individually for each and every one of us. But still, you say, follow you. And that is reassuring and comforting. Bless us this day. Be with us as we go to the sections of the studies. Be with the speaker, I pray. Bless him and provide the words, Father Jesus, for us to hear. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to continue in our chapter by the sea once more, but that will be part 5, and that will be May 10, 2025, and that will be lesson 434, leaving the scripture and also the quote from our Book of Maranatha. The scripture is taken from 1 John 3:5, King James Version, and it reads, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." And from our quote in page 78, paragraph 4, "By his perfect obedience, he has made it possible for every human being to obey God's commandments. When we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart is united with his heart. The will is merged in his will. The mind becomes one with his mind. The thoughts are brought into captivity to him. We live his life. This is what it means to be clothed with the garment of his righteousness. Then as the Lord looks upon us, he sees not the fig leaf garment, not the nakedness and deformity of sin, for his own robe of righteousness, which is perfect obedience to the law of Jehovah." May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless. And to all that are coming in, God bless each and everyone in Jesus' name. Amen.